What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Chasing Your Best, the podcast dedicated to helping you play your best golf, chase your goals. And my whole thing is I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want to give you more tools, more resources, and a better system for decision making. And with those things, hopefully send you off, equip you to go play your best golf and figure this game out. That being said, I get a lot of questions on my Instagram. Hey, Tim, what's going on? You know, I'm kind of lost with my golf game. How do I figure this out? And generally speaking, I try to ask a question or two and get back to them with what is the way to kind of start figuring it out, give them a few steps in their journey. But I can kind of distill it down or generalize it into a few basic things that very, very few amateurs do very, very well. And I wanted to kind of send those out today, a short list, if you will, a check and balance of things you can go do today, this afternoon, today, and see what's going on with your golf game. A few tests to see if you're happy with how you're hitting it, if your game is in a place that's satisfactory, or maybe you pass all these tests and you're like, hey, I'm good here. I'm going to go work on my short game. Now, with that being said, I'm going to talk about the full swing today. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I talk about the full swing pretty frequently. That doesn't mean I'm like a full swing. That doesn't mean that's all I teach. That doesn't mean that's all I think is important. But when you're speaking to the masses, and in this case I am, you try to solve big problems like macro golf problems. What are the if you're to send me 1,000 golfers, what are the things that I can help 900 of those golfers with? And for one, that's satisfaction. And two, that is how they hit the golf ball. Most golfers get satisfaction from hitting the golf ball better. There's something about hitting that nice, high, well-struck golf shot that has very little curve on it that flies like a laser beam at your target. It's kind of magical in its own way. And I think that's why a lot of people get drawn into this game, because they can go play a game, make 100 strokes, and there's one or two of those strokes that keep them coming back. So I understand the value of short game. I understand the value of putting. In fact, the fastest way to lower your scores is to get better with inside of 50 yards. But I understand the value of satisfaction and ball striking. And those things go together like hand in hand for most. Let's hop into it. Let's talk about what we can do to get better at ball striking. Now, the first test, and if you think this is basic, well, that's cool. Basic is cool with me. And in fact, I think golf instruction is doing the basics very, very well. I think a lot of times players get lost looking for answers in places that are sexy or fancy because they're getting distracted from the work that's in front of them. They don't want to hear the hard answer that, hey, you're on the right path, but you know what? It might take you 3 to 6 more months to figure that out. It might take you a year to learn that move. It might take you a long time. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to play the game for a long time. So if you have the right pathway, if you're making the right decisions, you will eventually crush your golfing goals and you will break through to wherever you want to be. But you make wise decisions, you make purposeful decisions, and you put in the work. All right, now let me get off that and on to what we're going to test. All right, first and foremost, it's not sexy, but damn, is it important. And this is kind of a two-sided deal. I want you to put an iron down. I want you to put a tee just outside the toe of the iron. And I want you to put a tee just inside the heel of the iron. And they can be about a finger width away from the tee to the iron. So if you can put a finger width in between there, that's good. And then we're going to put a ball in the middle of those tees. And we're going to swing through those tees. And we're going to see if we can hit the golf ball. If we can hit the ball near the middle of the club face. And I'll say for our purposes, and what you can use on your club is you can use a little bit of foot powder spray. You can use like a Dr. Scholl's foot powder spray and you can spray it on your club. Or you can use face tape, and face tape is really valuable. It's not a resource most of us have, but you can order it off of Amazon. Just Google club face tape. There are a lot of places that sell it. Or you can go down to your local Walgreens, buy some Dr. Scholl's and spray it on the club face. Then we're going to set up this gate and we're going to practice swinging through that gate. And the idea here is, can we swing through that gate? Can we put a ball in the middle of that gate? Can we hit that ball? Okay, let's hit 10 balls and let's see what that pattern looks like on your club face. And what we're looking for is a pattern here. We're not looking for one strike. We're not looking for two strikes. We're looking for 10 to 15 golf shots so you can start to develop a pattern and see how that pattern is. And if you can hit it near the middle of the club face, congratulations. You are steps ahead of most of the golfing public. Now, I'll say this. Let's start with a 50-cent piece and say that a 50-cent piece is satisfactory contact if it's near the middle of the club face. For most golfers that, like, let's say in the 20 to 30 handicap type range, or even slightly below 20. But as you want to get better, and let's say you want to be sub 15, sub 10 handicap, then I'm going to say you have to hit it in a pattern that's about the size of a quarter, near the middle of the club face. You got to be able to hit that quarter pretty darn consistently. And yeah, that's what's going to give your shots the height. That's what's going to give your shots the repeatability and the consistency that most of you are looking for. Now, if you want to be really, really good at this game, like really, really, really good, now we're talking about a nickel or a dime near the middle of your club face. And that's very, very hard to achieve. Most of us will never get there, but some of us will. And those are the guys and gals that are generally playing for a living. And there's some really cool old school photos of awesome, awesome ball strikers through the years. But those awesome ball strikers basically will wear in a size of about a dime in the middle of the club face. And the middle of the club face, side to side, is right where you think it is. It's in the middle. But vertically, it's slightly lower than what most people think it is. The middle of the club face is about 4 to 6 grooves up from the bottom. And that's the whole, that's the vertical middle. That's on an iron. On a driver, it's actually in the upper third. Okay, now we talked about the gate drill, where there's another thing to the gate drill that's telling me a deeper story about your golf swing. It's in that gate, where is our divot? Is our divot consistently in front of the tees? Well, you tell me. You just hit 10 to 15 shots. Where is your divot pattern starting? Now we have a pattern. Let's measure it. Because to hit the golf ball consistently, you need a couple things. You need centered contact and you need a forward divot. And it doesn't have to be a divot. It could just be a light scrape of the grass, but it has to be in front of where your golf ball is. Because if you do not hit the golf ball first, you're creating inconsistencies in how your club face is going to react to the golf ball. And the basic inconsistency is that if you hit the ground before the ball, you're going to deflect your club face closed. You're also going to lose speed. And at the end of the day, it's just not a consistent way to play golf. And that's what most of us are looking for, is consistency in our game, consistency in our ball striking, consistency in playing better golf. So with two tees and a can of Dr. Scholl's, you can diagnose yourself very, very well and figure out a good starting point and see, hey, am I hitting it near the middle of the club face? Do I have any patterns here? Am I creating a ball first divot? If you're not doing either of those things, I will say that first and foremost, you should prioritize hitting it near the middle of your club face. And then secondly, we're going to prioritize creating a forward divot and then doing those things together. And you're on your way. That's a really awesome starting point for playing better golf. And now let me move forward. So let's say you can do those things. That's cool. That's really awesome. Now let's go out and let's test your shots. Tell me about, like, what kind of shots you're capable of hitting. I want to know what kind of shots you're capable of hitting and how well you know your tool. And the first thing I would give you is about 10 to 15 golf balls. And I would say hit as many push draws as you can with these 10 to 15 golf balls with the same things that we just talked about, with a forward divot, with center contact. Those things we're just going to assume moving forward need to happen. All right, now I'm going to give you 10 to 15 golf balls, and you're going to show me how many push draws you can hit. And if you're playing at a really high level, you can hit most of those shots as a nice push draw. And here's a caveat. You're not allowed to move your foot line. You're not allowed to move your stance line. You're not allowed to move your stance to facilitate a push draw. And I would say that if you really wanted to, you can move your back foot about an inch, maybe two, but no more than that. But for our purpose, show me what you got with a square stance and show me if you can do it or not. The reason this is so important is because, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts, is its the ability to swing inside out and create a forward divot. Most golfers have a really hard time combining those components. It's a hard thing to do together. And when you look at the upper echelon players, that's something they do very, very well. So it's low hanging fruit. And when you're talking about constructing a golf shot, the best golf shots approach, the club approaches the golf ball from the inside. And if we're approaching the golf ball from the inside, we should do one of two things. We should either hit a nice push draw, or maybe we push it, or maybe we hit a little push fade. But we're not pulling the ball. We're not hitting these high, weak right fades or whatever. It's one of those three things. It's either a push draw, a push, or a push fade. And that shows me that you can swing inside out and that you have some control of your club face and that you have some control of your low point. Those things are an excellent test. Just an absolute awesome test. And now let's say you can do those things and you're pretty awesome at them. Well, that's telling me your ball striking is getting pretty darn good. And I'm pretty happy with how you're hitting that. Now let's figure out how you're hitting your driver. And I like that Dr. Scholes. Let's start with the driver and just some Dr. Scholes. And let's see what's going on. Are you creating that 50 cent piece near the middle of the club face? Are you creating a quarter near the middle of the club face? Let's figure out if you're hitting your driver near the middle of your club face. Because if you're not, chances are you're robbing yourself of distance and efficiency. And those things work together, like hand in hand. You're robbing yourself of distance and efficiency if you cannot hit it near the middle of the club face. But let's fast forward. So we're hitting it near the middle of the club face. Now what's most important? Well, with the driver, I don't think it's as important that you're able to work the golf ball, that you're able to make it draw, make it fade. With modern technology, most drivers, it's hard to work it too much. So for our purpose, shot patterns are going to look relatively straight. And with that straight ball, I want you to show me that you can hit some fairways. So we're going to measure something, and a lot of ranges have landmarks, but we want to use a landmark strip that's, let's call it 30 yards wide. That's fair. Some fairways are wider, some fairways are narrower, but that's a good measurement point. And we're going to go out and we're going to hit 14 shots, just as if you would on the golf course. You're going to go through your pre-shot routine. You're going to treat it like it matters. And you're going to hit 14 different drives where you reset every single time, go through your pre-shot routine and do the thing. And then let's count how many fairways you hit. Let's figure that out. Are you hitting fairways and do you have enough distance to score? I find that most people have the distance to score. That being said, if they hit it near the middle of the club face, and they make a full body turn. So if you make a full body turn and hit it near the middle of the club face, you probably have the distance to score. But now it's about having a drive that we can trust and starting to create a manageable pattern. And when you're talking about creating a manageable pattern, like if we hit 14 drives, I like to see, you know, whatever, 50, 60% of those in the fairway. But the remaining percent, I like to see missing on the same side. So let's say you hit 50% of the fairways and then you miss all of your other shots on the right side of that fairway. But not a big miss, just off the fairway on the right side. That, to me, makes the game so much easier. And it's not even to me, it's just the sheer math and statistics of it. We're taking the dispersion pattern and we're shrinking it down considerably by having a consistent miss, not a two-way miss. The minute you add in that two-way miss, your dispersion circles go up in size, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, 60%. And it just makes the game a lot harder to play. So moral of the story, we want to drive the ball well. We want to give ourselves an opportunity to hit greens. Then we want to hit the ball well. We want to create ball first contact. We want to create a forward divot and a manageable pattern that's hitting it near the middle of the club face. With those things, if you can do those things, you're on your way. You're doing very, very well. You're ahead of most of the golfing public. But I find that within that framework, very few people do all those things well. And that's why I wanted to kind of lay it out there for you today, was to give you some framework for your decision making. So when you're going out and you're trying to figure out what you should practice or how you should spend your time, you can start making some decisions around that. You know, maybe you can't hit the middle of the club face. So let's spend some time just hitting in the middle of the club face. Maybe you can't take a forward divot. Well, let's spend some time learning to take a forward divot. And that way you're not guessing. You're making educated decisions. Your decisions are systemized. And I like that. That tells me that, you know, there's some thought going into your process. And that if there is some thought going into your process, I have faith that you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out because you're thinking about it, you're purposeful, you're intentional with your time. And those things to me are some of the stuff that separates the greats from the wannabes, from the amateurs that are struggling. All right, you guys, I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate you for reaching out to me too recently. I've gotten a few really great emails just talking about stuff they've learned, perspectives, and stuff like that. I always like hearing from you, especially recently now. I'm going to start bringing more guests back on. So if you know of a great guest or you think you could be a great guest, just reach out to me through my socials or my email. Let me know about people that you think could be a great guest on this show. All I'm looking for is people that could contribute to the golf conversation and are passionate about the game or helping other people. So that's that. I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank you for being exactly who you are. I will catch you back here, same time, same place, next week.